Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys today. Continuing to preview the Sweet 16, we do a deep dive into the four games that we have on Thursday. We'll look at those matchups. We have player props that are available now. I'll give you a player prop that I like in each of those games. We'll also talk about the side and the total. 2 days until opening day. We got Sweet 16 and opening day on Thursday. Yesterday, we looked at the AL East and NL East. Make sure you go look at and listen to the podcast if you missed that yesterday. Today, we will look at the AL and NL Central. Also, we got the Children's Shriners Open out in Houston this week. Little tee it up Tuesday on Send It In today. Talk about some of our favorite golfers that we have. Nick Henning going to join us later in the show to talk about some golf, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, best bets that you guys have for us, college hoops, MLB, golf, NBA, let us know. Hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. We'll get to all your questions throughout the show. And if you miss any part of the show, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling on a Tuesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with our guy, Isaac Shade. Make sure you guys give Isaac a follow on X at Isaac Shade. Host of Locked On College Basketball and Locked On Heels podcast as well. Isaac, I'm going to be honest with you, man. These are a tough 3 days that we got to survive, right? We just have 4 days of nonstop hoops. We're waiting for the Sweet 16 to get here. It's just, it's a little brutal. I'm not going to lie to you. But I do want to talk to you about the last 4 days and kind of your big takeaways. What stood out to you?
You know, what's funny, PJ, is we had the chalkiest first two rounds we've had in a while in totality. The actual makeup and construction of the Sweet 16 is actually pretty similar to last year, where we just had one double-digit seed and everyone else was six or better in terms of seed line. But what was funny is I feel like people were really quick this weekend to point to the lack of upsets as like, this is the new normal. NIL has gotten rid of Cinderella and it's a whole thing. I've tried to process that a lot this weekend, PJ, and here's where I'm at with it. As I look back, I think this year actually is the outlier. Not last year, but the year before, we had a streak of three straight years where a 15 seed was in the Sweet 16. 2 years ago, we had a Final Four made up of a 4, 2, 5s and an 8 seed, right? And we've had this whole streak of all these 13 through 16 seeds making it in, and it's really just this year. So I'm fine if it's eventually we're going to say that. I'm not there yet. I need to see a multi-year trend of what happened this year before I jump to that conclusion. And oh, by the way, Stephen A. Smith is out here like, oh man, this is going to ruin college basketball. Well, we've seen the numbers now, and literally this is the best first weekend they've ever had. So say, you know, miss me with that, Mr. Smith. I think college basketball is alive and well. Thank you very much.
I completely agree with you. I think this is a total overreaction. Nick Kostos on You Better You Bet, I saw him say this yesterday, and I completely agree with him. I can't wait for the tournament next year because this is obviously going to be a big storyline in the early rounds, and I think it's going to create some good betting value on a lot of these underdogs, right? Because, Isaac, the past couple of years with betting growing, right, all these trendy, popular upsets, like, they usually don't hit, right? High Point, a lot of people love them. UC San Diego, everybody loved them. Like, all these trendy 12-13s usually don't win. Might not see that again next year. So I'm with you. I'm interested to see how that plays over the next couple years. As for the teams that participated, we came into the tournament, co-favorites Duke and Florida. Right now, Duke is the prohibited favorite. They're minus 170 to win their region. Isaac, you've watched this team all year. Are they the clear-cut team for you at this point to beat?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the only, like, when the bracket first came out, I can't remember what it was at BetMGM, but I feel like Florida was either the favorite at that point or very closely related to Duke. And I think that was all surrounding the uncertainty with Cooper Flagg's ankle. Well, PJ, we got our answer pretty quick on that, man. It was a whole nothing burger, right? Like, Cooper's good to go, and he is doing fine. And the thing is, if Tyrese Proctor is going to do what he did this week, I mean, it was absurd what Tyrese Proctor's doing. And I think the thing is, people start focusing so much on Cooper Flagg, and the second you give him so much of your attention, Con Knipple drops 28 on you, or Proctor's driving it, whatever it is. There's just such a host of characters that can do it. And now as we get into these later rounds where experience matters so much, that's when you're really going to see somebody like Mason Gillis, who was in the national championship game last year. Not that he's necessarily going to have a bigger on-court emphasis, but I think his experience and leadership really comes into play at that moment. And so, man, all in on Duke right now. And it's funny because we've got all the other three conferences we're talking about, Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC, and we're out here, the rest of the SEC's looking at Duke like Princess Leia to Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, help me, Duke, you're my only hope. And I think the Dukies are going to take this thing home.
I'm with you, dude. I really think they are. A great nugget I saw yesterday is that the last 3 years, the number one seeds are 3-16 in the Sweet 16. So if there was a round where maybe we see the one seeds go down, this might be it. We have all four of them still alive. Isaac, who should be on upset alert this week? Should it be Auburn, Duke, Houston, or the Florida Gators?
What's funny, PJ, is that Auburn has been my pick all year. I rode with them to be my national champion, but they're actually the team of the one seeds that I'm putting on upset alert this weekend. Part of it is about Auburn. Part of it is about what the other teams are doing. We just talked Duke. They're cruising. They beat Arizona earlier this year in the McHale Center on the road, and I'm not concerned there. Houston's floor is so high. I don't think Purdue's that good, to be honest. Braden Smith has 11 turnovers in the tournament so far, had 8 of them against McNeese. I'm not worried about that. And then Florida, I think, just had their wake-up call against UConn. I think they're going to get back to rolling. Maryland's great, but they don't have the depth beyond the Crab 5. And so almost by default, I think Auburn is my pick here. But also, those Twin Towers, it ain't the Admiral and Tim Duncan, but good grief, Danny Wolf and Vlad Golden are dudes, and unlike anything that other teams are used to dealing with. However, I trust Auburn's backcourt a lot more than Michigan's, but I think of the one seeds, that's the one I'm most concerned about.
Yeah, all right. I think that's totally fair. I'm with you. I like Michigan a lot in that game, plus the 8.5 against Auburn. I'm going to take some money line in the game as well. Another team I might take some money line with, Isaac, on Thursday is Arkansas. They're 5.5 point dogs at Texas Tech. Adu Thierro is going to be available for Arkansas. I was watching Calipari on McAfee this morning before we came on our show, talking about how good this Texas Tech team is, but he also loves his team, and he loves the way that they're playing. You think the Hogs can keep it close against the Red Raiders?
I absolutely. You said it's 5.5?
Yeah.
It's way too big. Yeah, the way that Arkansas, it's what John Calipari teams do, right? They're these young guys that often just start to figure it out and figure it out and figure it out. And by the time we get to the first or second weekend of the tournament, here we go, and they're rolling. They just got Boogie Flan back for the tournament. I think what was interesting is you look to the turning point back in January. They're 0-5 in SEC play. Boogie Flan goes down, and I was like, oh, set it on fire. This thing is cooked, right? And then two games later or three games later, they go to Rupp, beat Kentucky. It was like that was all the turning point as finally John L. Davis gets his moment. Now Boogie Fland comes back, but it's kind of in a different role. You get Thero back, and I was talking to our great host of Locked On Razorbacks, John Neighbors, who was in the locker room with them this weekend. He said it looked like Thero was just chomping, like itching, like I got to get back out there. So I think their leading scorer and rebounder is going to be ready to go. I think they can upset Texas Tech. I'm going to roll with Tech straight up in this thing, but I think Arkansas covers that spread quite easily. We're still waiting to get word on Texas Tech's Chance McMillan and his 14 mm-hmm. points a game. Hasn't played yet in the tournament. I talked to Chris Level, who was Texas Tech's color guy on their radio call, and he said, yeah, it's really iffy and up in the air right now, so no call to make on his availability yet.
Isaac, in about 20-30 seconds, give us a thought on Kentucky and Tennessee. Third time these teams are meeting. Kentucky's beaten them the first two. Do you think they can do it again?
So hard to beat a team three times in a season, but I think Kentucky's going to do it. The caveat is Lamont Butler's health, right? He played in the second round game, almost looked like the Winter Soldier with that bionic whatever thing he had on his arm. But I really do think if Lamont Butler is available and ready to go as he was this weekend, then we will see Kentucky sweep Tennessee. Their offense is too inconsistent. I just can't trust it.
All right, a couple more quick questions for you. What's the hypothetical Elite Eight matchup that you most want to see?
Like the fan in me, wants to see Michigan and Michigan State. I don't think it's going to happen, but just how fun is that when we get those kind of matchups? The one, though, that I think is realistic that I'm most excited about is Duke and Alabama in the East Regional Final, man. Like, that would be so great. We got Grant Nelson back from injury. He started their second game there, and I really think against St. Mary's and had like 12-8, which against St. Mary's, I think is like a 30-22 kind of game, you know what I'm saying? And so, man, just the size and capability that Bama brings in the front court would be really, really interesting to see. But this whole region, that East region, is like first team to 8 million points wins. I think over under in each game is like 80.5 3-point attempts combined. I mean, it's going to be insane. Can't wait for it. But yeah, Duke and Bama, amen.
Who's going to be your Final Four up to this point? What do you think it is?
The tournament's been so chalky, so why not stay that? I had Texas Tech in my Final Four, so I'm going to go Auburn, Duke, Houston, and Texas Tech.
All right, there you go. Love it. Before we let you go, Isaac, as always, we got to get the shady play of the day for games Thursday or Friday. What's your best bet in the Sweet 16?
Oh, man, it's an SEC matchup, PJ. We got the Kentucky Wildcats. We got the Tennessee Volunteers. Last time I had checked this line, it was 4.5 in favor of Tennessee. Is that where it's still at?
It is, yep, 4.5.
It is. I truly, honestly think Kentucky wins this game straight up, but give me Kentucky, to at the least cover this spread well within that. I think it's a one-possession game coming down to it, but really, 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 how about Mark Pope in his first year rolling into the Sweet 16? Big Blue Nation, or into the Elite Eight. Big Blue Nation is back. I'm here for it.
I like it. There you go. Kentucky plus 4.5, the shady pick of the day. Make sure you guys check out Isaac Shade on X at Isaac Shade, and check out his podcast, host of Locked On Heels and the Locked On College Basketball podcast as well. Joins us each and every Tuesday. Isaac, thank you as always, sir. We'll see you next week when we preview the Final Four.
Looking Ooh, forward to baby, it. Baby, let's get it, PJ. Have a good show, brother.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Let's keep it rolling, guys, here on Send It In. We'll do a deep dive into a bunch of these games we got going on Thursday. Alabama, BYU going to kick things off 7:09 Eastern time out in Newark, New Jersey. Bama right now 5.5-point favorite, and the total just continues to climb 174.5. Seeing some 175.5s out there as well. Really interesting game in the fact that this was the same spread that Bama played against St. Mary's in the round of 32. Now, I thought St. Mary's was going to upset Bama. I thought that was a terrible matchup for them. Team that wants to play at an ultra-slow pace, great on defense. But Bama played their A game. Again, that was the first time St. Mary's has given up 80 or more points in 105 games. Three seasons, they haven't given up 80 or more points, which tells you the kind of game that Bama had. Now they play against the BYU team It's a great matchup for them. This is the kind of game that they want to play. A team that's also great on offense, team that wants to shoot a lot of threes, team that doesn't mind playing in an up-tempo type game. And those are the kind of games where Bama usually thrives. So this is how the tournament works, right? Bama plays against St. Mary's, a matchup which should be awful for them. They win and coast to victory. Now they play in a game on paper, should look really good for them, and watch BYU pull the upset on Bama. Not going to bet anything on the spread, but as I told you guys yesterday, I do like the first half over in this game. It's now 83.5. We bet it yesterday at 82.5. Under Nate Oates, man, when Bama's been in these high-profile type games, especially on neutral floors, when you get high totals like this, they normally are always high-scoring in the first half. You're looking at like 49-45, 49-47, 50-40, somewhere in that neighborhood. I like the first half over in Bama and BYU. Player prop that I would look at in this game, LeBaron Filon, over 10.5 points for Bama. Been quiet in the first couple games, only had 1 point against Robert Morris, 6 points against St. Mary's. But Filon's been great in big games, and he's been great when Bama plays against another good offensive team, and you get high totals like this, and there's going to be a good pace. Filon's been looking more as a facilitator in the first two games. I think he looks to score against BYU. I like over 10.5 points for Filon. Maryland and Florida should be a really good one. Both teams obviously survive and advance to get to the Sweet 16. Talked about Maryland yesterday to win the region at plus 450. I just think from a math standpoint, it's a great bet. They're plus 240 on the money line against Florida. And then if they get Arkansas, they're going to be a favorite. If they get Texas Tech, they might even be a favorite in that one, but certainly going to be close to a pick 'em. Gators are 6.5 point favorites, and this total also continues to go up. This morning when I was preparing for the show, it was 155.5. Now it's all the way up to 157.5. A lot of people think there are going to be some scoring in this game. This is a game I really like player props. Walter Clayton Jr., you just got to blind bet it. Auto play, if it's under 20 points, take is over. Over 19.5 is what they're giving us at BetMGM, so I'm betting over on that. I also like Rodney Rice, over 13.5 points as well for Maryland. The big games that the Terps have played, usually Rice has been the guy for them. Didn't score all that much against Colorado State, had in the low teens. I think he's going to go close to 20 in this game against Florida. So I like Rodney Rice over points. And then Derek Queen under 9.5 rebounds. I like that play against the Gators. One of my big takeaways watching Maryland play against Colorado State was how they got dominated on the glass. I think Florida's going to have a big rebounding edge in this game as well. And also, some of the big games that Queen has had from a rebounding standpoint have been games that have been lower scoring, with the total continuing to climb and with it being at 157.5. I think both teams are going to score and make shots. Obviously, if that happens, less opportunities for rebounds. I like under 9.5 rebounds for Derek Queen as well. Then we got Duke and Arizona in the Sweet 16. Duke a 9.5 point favorite, total 135.5. Told you guys would probably lean Duke minus 9.5 in this game. Some player props that I like in this one, though. Caleb Love over 17.5 points. Whenever we talk about Arizona on this show or anybody talks about Arizona, it's always about what kind of Caleb Love are you going to get. To Caleb Love's credit, he's been really good in postseason for Arizona. He was good in the Big 12 tournament, and he's been good so far in March Madness. Hit some massive shots against Oregon in that round of 32 game. I like over 17.5 points for Caleb Love. This is who he is in March Madness. Time and time again, he hits big shots. He's getting another opportunity to play Duke, so we'll take his over. And then Cooper Flagg, over 4.5 assists for Duke as well. 6 of the last 7 games that Cooper Flagg has played in, not counting the one he got hurt against Georgia Tech, he has had 5 or more assists. Obviously, he is the focal point of every scouting report for the other team. They try to take away his scoring. He's certainly going to get his, but he's also setting up his teammates really well. Proctor's been unbelievable shooting the ball so far in this tournament. Think Con Knipple could have a good game as well. So we'll go over 4.5 assists for Cooper Flagg. And then finally, Arkansas and Texas Tech. Again, I like Arkansas plus the points. I'm going to take them on the money line in this game as well. DJ Wagner, probably my favorite player prop, over 10.5 points for Arkansas. He played all 40 minutes against Kansas. He played 34 minutes against St. John's, took 12 shots against KU, took 16 against St. John's. I mean, I think we're going to get that kind of volume. He's going to play essentially the whole game, over 10.5 points for the starting point guard, who's going to have the ball in his hands a ton, and he's going to have a good size advantage over Elijah Hawkins. I like DJ Wagner over 10.5 points for Arkansas against Texas Tech. All right, let's talk some baseball. Get into a little AL NL Central preview. So we got opening day coming up in 2 days. We'll start with the AL Central. Really interesting division to handicap because you have four teams that could win it. Kansas City could win it, Minnesota could win it, Cleveland could win it, Detroit could win it, and none of us would bat an eye. Three of these teams made the postseason last year. However, the one that did not make it in Minnesota is the team that is favored to win the division. I just can't get there with Minnesota. I get it. On paper, they probably do have the best team. Starting pitching is really solid. Great closer in Duran. Lineup, you got guys like Correa and Buxton and some dudes in that order that can hit. I just don't want to bet Minnesota as the favorite. I don't think they've done anything that warrants them being the favorite, even though they have won this division the last couple of years. It kind of feels like this Minnesota team stayed the same, while some other teams in this division build off the momentum of last year and helped out their ball club. Certainly, one of the teams that can build off the momentum of last year is the Kansas City Royals. One of the worst teams in baseball a couple years ago, make the playoffs this past year. Bobby Witt, one of the best players in the sport. Cole Reagans is a certified ace. Outside of those two guys, though, it's going to be kind of a question mark for the rest of the roster. The Royals are one of those teams that just kind of had everything go right for them last season. You know, they had a lot of veterans that were coming to Kansas City trying to prove themselves. Guys like Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, that had incredible years. Don't know if they're going to duplicate that. So I'm a little bit off Kansas City. The team that I like is the Cleveland Guardians at plus 300. This team won this division running away. Really good manager in Steven Vogt. Lights out bullpen. Best in baseball. Class A is the best closer. Starting pitching, no doubt. That is the big question mark, but this organization is really good. They just figure out how to win games every single year. Jose Ramirez continues to be one of the most underrated players in baseball. I like the Guardians 3-1 to win the AL Central. Then in the NL Central, give me the Cincinnati Reds at plus 450. I really like the Reds this year in this division. Terry Francona is the manager for the Reds. Can't understate that enough. Francona is one of the best. He's a Hall of Famer. Everywhere he goes, his teams win games. And I don't think he would have taken this job if he didn't like the position and the young talent that Cincinnati has. I think Ellie is in for a monster year. I would look at him to win NL MVP. Everybody was on the Reds last year. I think we were a year early. I would go right back to Cincinnati. I think they win that division at plus 450. Certainly Milwaukee is intriguing because they just find ways to win games every single year. I think Jackson Churio is going to have a monster season, but I like the price that we're getting with the Reds. I would take them at plus 450. All right, real quick, let's talk a little bit of golf before we get to Nick Henyon and get his favorite golf bets for the Texas Children's Houston Open. And that's where we are this week in Houston. Par 70 golf course, just a little bit under 7,500 yards. Difficult layout, and anytime you're playing in Texas, you always have to deal with the wind. Pretty tough golf course. This is the fewest amount of bunkers that they'll see all year on a PGA golf course. There's not a lot of water on this course as well, but it is difficult and it is long. So you're looking for guys that want to hit the ball long and straight. Certainly distance is going to be a big advantage, but you also need guys that are good approach players. It's going to be tough. Even though there's not a lot of bunkers, the rough can be difficult around these greens, and it's going to be tough for guys to get up and down to save their par or try and make birdie as well. So you want guys that are long and straight off the tee. Also, you want some good approach players. And these putting greens are fast. They're not easy as well. Bent grass greens this week. So it's going to take a good all-around performance for somebody to win this week in Houston. Some golfers that I would look at. First one's going to be Michael Kim at 40-1. Guy's been playing lights out here as of late. He's fallen off just a little bit. Missed the cut at the Players. He was T28 at the Valspar. But before that, five straight weeks where he finished inside the top 15, he was cooking. And I feel like the last two performances, everybody start to cool off a little bit on Michael Kim. I think there's some value at 40-1. Joe Highsmith, give me him at 55-1. Joe Highsmith very quietly playing some really good golf. He has finished inside the top 22 in five of his last six events. The only one he did not was the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And all these golf courses that he's been playing at, you got to be a good ball striker and you got to be accurate. I think he can use that again this week. So I like Joe Highsmith. Highsmith, and then give me Jake Knapp. Again, you got to be long and straight off the tee. Knapp hits the ball a long way. If he performs well with his irons this week and knocks in some putts, I think Jake Knapp, 80-1, very good bet this week at the Houston Open. All right, let's go to our guy, Nick Henyon, who joins us each and every Tuesday. Looking forward to get Nick's thoughts this week at the Houston Open. And Nick, you just heard me talk about the golf course this week, so I'm interested to see what your handicap is. What kind of golfers are you looking for this week out in Houston?
Yeah, I'll echo what you said earlier by basically reiterating that you kind of have to be good at everything this week to have success at Memorial Park. Strokes gained tee to green is a big stat this week, but you really need to be good across the board. You can't hide in any one of these categories in a course that's a par 70, but really long for a par 70. So I looked at tee to green. Approach obviously is going to drive most of the results here, but something that's a little bit hidden in the data this week, 4 years this tournament has been held, all four winners have gained at least 6 strokes putting for the week, and they finished fifth or better for the week in strokes gained putting. So this is the rare opportunity where I get to include strokes gained putting into the mixed condition model, which is a little bit weird for me to see. But yeah, you really need to limit the mistakes because it's a difficult golf course. It's really long. You need to putt well. You need to play well tee to green. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
There you go. And Nick, I think a lot of people are going to look at the field this week, and certainly the top two on top of the leaderboard are going to jump out, right, with Scotty and Rory playing this week. Those guys are kind of in their own league, and then everybody else kind of follows behind them. Did you do anything with Rory or Scotty this week? Did you bet them head-to-head, top five, anything with those guys?
I didn't do anything with them. If anything, it mostly impacted how I approached the rest of the field because let me say this. If the prices were flipped on Rory and Scotty, and Rory was 4-1, Scotty was 6.5-1, I would absolutely have a look at Scotty Scheffler, but I just can't get behind him at 4-1 with the current form. Obviously, last year, Scotty, I would be all in on 4-1, especially when he finished in a tie for second at this exact event 1 year ago. So I think there's an opportunity to buy the dip on him at some point. This week just isn't it. So if the price continues to drift, I might have a look at Scotty, but for right now, nothing on either of those two guys.
Nick, I usually don't do this, and when I was giving out my outright plays last segment, I didn't include this either, but I really do think this would be a week. If you're not betting one of those guys, you look at betting into the market winner without Scotty Scheffler or Rory, right? So for example, I took Michael Kim 40-1 in the market to win without Rory or Scotty. So if one of those guys wins and Kim comes in second, I hit my bet. He's 28-1 in that market. Did you dabble in that at all? Like, are you betting guys to win in the market without Scotty and Rory this week?
I'll be honest, I have not made any outright bets, period. I think one of those two is going to win the tournament. The prices don't justify a bet on either of them, given what I outlined earlier. But I am mostly just making some derivative picks this week, given the size of the field, given the way the odds stack up at BetMGM. I think this is the week where you almost just sit it out entirely and just take some guys who you think might perform well and have some higher ceilings than the market suggests, but not necessarily are going to beat one of those two guys who are prohibitive favorites to win the tournament.
I think that's a great strategy. Who are some of those guys that you like this week?
We're going to be married together on Jake Knapp. I really like the buy low spot on him because, yeah, it doesn't really make sense that he missed the cut here last year because he has the profile of a guy who does really well here. Long off the tee, really good with the putter. I mean, last 24 rounds on Bermuda grass, 35th in strokes gained putting, just this calendar year in general, 9th in strokes gained putting, 12th in bogey avoidance. He hits the long irons really well, and he's 15th in strokes gained approach over his last 24 rounds. So plus 300 on a top 20 finish. I think he's around even money for a top 40. I really like that price a lot. He's 13th in a simplified version of my model. So Jake Knapp, I'll echo your thoughts there. Two top 20 bets for me. Aaron Rye at plus 110. It almost feels a little bit too easy with him, given he's not finished outside the top 20 at Memorial Park. 3 straight top 20 finishes, no worse than 14th in any of those events. So he's 4th in strokes gained tee to green, 4th in strokes gained off the tee, 2nd in strokes gained approach over his last 12 rounds. So really like the profile on Aaron Rye. And then JJ Spahn, top 20 finish at plus 150. first overall in my mixed condition model, so it's basically a price play. The course history isn't great, but the course history wasn't great at TPC Sawgrass either, and he almost beat Rory McIlroy in a playoff, so I really like his profile with he lacks some of the distance that Knapp has off the tee, but I think he can really thrive at a course like this where it really places a strong emphasis on approach play and proficiency with your long irons. He's really good in that category. One thing I'll add, 5 par threes this week at Memorial Park spawned 6th in par three efficiency for the calendar year. So there's a 19 spot gap between the model and where the finishing position is. I'll happily take plus 150 there.
There you go. Great stuff as always. Nick Kenyon, make sure you guys are following him on X at Nick Kenyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Nick, always great having you on, sir. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Have a good day, PJ.
Yeah, you as well. All right, guys, let's wrap the show here. PJ's plays coming in on Send It In. Got some questions coming in on the chat as well. B-Mills, I like Kentucky, especially plus the 4.5, but that line scares me that it is going to be Tennessee. B-Mills, again, right? That's going to be the big topic of conversation. Tough to beat a team 3 times, but Kentucky's been really good against defensive-minded teams this year. I would probably lean that way. What do you think of Wyndham Clark this week? I do like Wyndham, right? Obviously, a golfer hits the ball long and straight. I think he could be a factor this week, and you're getting a good price at 40-1. Sports wager, Maryland points and Texas Tech. Money line parlay thoughts. I would be a little nervous at Texas Tech. I do like the Terps plus the points, though. Real quick, as for my best bets in that Texas Tech game, DJ Wagner over 10.5 points is going to be my prop lock. Dog of the day, we're going to the ice. Give me the Caps plus 120 tonight against the Jets in the battle, the best 2 teams in the NHL. And then my best bet, the Cincinnati Reds, to win the NL Central at plus 450. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Love the questions. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.